Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. Pierre is an entrepreneur, hospitality executive, and an exceptional human being. There's a quote by Maya Angelou. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And this man makes everybody feel loved and special. So I'm so grateful to have you here today, buddy, and call you a brother. So thanks for doing this, man.
Wow, this is a really nice introduction. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, brother. So, Pierre and I were chatting a little bit, and my last podcast was a solo podcast about ayahuasca. So I thought this would be a perfect segue from that to basically discuss that with Pierre, because I've been in this journey for some time, quite deep. And, you know, Pierre would be somebody you might not expect that has had a ceremony. So it was kind of cool to sort of talk to you about this today, and to you know, for a lot of people who are interested but may not think that it's sort of the thing for them per se. So it's kind of like there's a whole new age community, there's a whole thing around this, but you know, so essentially, how did you hear about it at first, I guess, or sort of what piqued your interest to consider doing ayahuasca?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I heard it from a few sources, one of them being you.
Yeah.
And I also had a couple of other friends, namely in the States, who had done it in California. One of them you've met. And so I consider myself to be adventurous in many ways, and always trying to seek the truth like everybody else. And I saw a movie, I want to say maybe 15 years ago, that was called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh, yes. Good one.
And although some of their theories have been debunked by now, I think that the messaging behind that movie was that there's alternate universes and dimensions. And I've always been intrigued by that. And from what I've heard, from you and my other friends, ayahuasca could have been a medium that would allow you or enable you to find out about these other dimensions. So I was curious, but also very intimidated by the whole process. And I finally had the courage to go ahead and embark on that adventure.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you weren't necessarily, so you're kind of like curious about the mystical side of it per se, but not necessarily, there was no other reason, anything else you were seeking personally for that? Was there anything else you're kind of hoping to accomplish by that? Or was it just sort of curiosity around what other dimensions or what other things we might not be able to sort of interpret with our limited five senses?
Yeah, it's a good question, but I still say that it was my curiosity for trying to discover what life is all about, and in other forms. And I know from other people's testimonials that ayahuasca could be instrumental in enabling people to deal with past issues,
right,
in, I guess, a different manner than something like Landmark can do for you. You know, it breaks you down, it makes you revisit certain traumatic episodes of your life, and then they help you deal with it. So I had heard that ayahuasca was a pretty good channel to address these types of situations, but it wasn't the case for me. I'm sure we all have issues that we've never felt the courage to deal with, but for me it was really about, you know, what is life all about? What's out there? What's going to happen to me when I die? And I've always been curious about that, and so that was my intention going in.
That's interesting you mentioned the death thing, because a lot of people do it just for that reason, because of fear of death, which is that number one or maybe second to fear of public speaking, but it's a huge one, and it actually cripples a lot of people from actually living. So a lot of people explore that, and you know, I've had conversations about this, about death, with people, just to take a little segue here, but I was taught a death meditation where you actually go through you know, your journey through birth, through your life, through death, just to sort of help prepare you for that. But when you actually do something like ayahuasca, and you know, the active ingredient being DMT, dimethyltryptamine, it basically is an ego death. And so it's it kind of helps you experience what it might be like transitioning from this life. I mean, nobody knows for sure, but it is interesting to sort of experience that. And they say it helps people sort of live more in the moment. But so it's interesting that you know, your intention was just kind of more about curiosity. And mine was the same when the first time I did it. And over time, it was fascinating for me to start to suddenly see that it became more about healing for me later on. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So you decide to do it. Mm-hmm. What was the next step in finding a shaman, or what did you do?
Yeah, well, through a common friend who is a highly respected professional in the city, someone that I look up to, talked to me about a ceremony that was taking place, and I mustered my courage to finally say yes, and then I was put in touch with, I guess, the ceremony coordinator, who was also an apprentice to be a shaman. And then, you know, began the process, and I really didn't know what I was getting myself into, but of course, you know, you have to cleanse your mind and your body ahead of the ceremony. So there's no salt, no sugar, no coffee, no sex, no alcohol for the 2 weeks leading up to the ceremony. And, you know, I was told that you absolutely had to take this seriously if I wanted to reap the most amount of benefits, you know, from the ceremony. So I, you know, 2 weeks before, I began becoming very disciplined, and I felt going in there that I had a really clear mind, clean body, and I was going in with a very sort of clear conscience and an open mind.
So you took it seriously. You took the prep seriously.
For sure.
Yeah. I think that's hugely important, because I've heard about people who have showed up almost straight from the party to do this, and the amount they suffer is quite significant. I mean, it's a very different
experience. As in them having purging, really negative...
Purging, negativity. It just, you know, it's almost annoying. There was some wisdom in this whole process. So if you don't take it seriously, I think you're kind of given a lesson accordingly. I think that's how it works, but... So that's interesting. You took it seriously. I think that's important. So, like, the location, was it in the city, out of the city?
Yeah, it was outside of the city. It was about an hour and a half from here. And, I felt completely intimidated by the whole process, as much as I had an open mind. So, you know, it was at someone's house on the countryside. The house was full of people from different walks of life.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. Yeah. That, to me, struck me very much when I walked into the house. So basically, you know, you're going there with your sleeping bag and your pillows and your mini flashlight. And, you know, you're told ahead of time that this is going to take place in the dark. But even if you bring a small flashlight, you have to cover it up with some kind of red film as to not to bother other people in the room if you have to go to the washroom. And so I began meeting other people. There's people who were, you know, in their 70s, other people, most people were actually, I guess, in their late 30s, 40s, and 50s. But, you know, you had a carpenter, you had a medical doctor, you had a school teacher, you actually had someone who was suffering from cancer, who was there. So everyone's got different intentions into going to. So someone suffering from cancer.
Yep.
And then I got to meet the shaman who was presiding over the ceremony. And of course, this person had spent 11 years in Peru and And I don't know how you get to be a shaman, but I think you need to have immersed yourself in this environment for many, many years before you can aspire to have that title.
Yeah.
And so I know you know a lot more about that whole process, but to me it was important to make ensure that this person was credible.
Yes.
And again, not someone who's going to take you on this mushroom like trip.
Right.
And so so I meet the shaman, and I'm sharing my fears and my apprehensions, and he's like, that's completely normal, and if you weren't feeling this way, I'm not sure you should be here. And so that reassured me. And then so the ceremony was taking place downstairs at this person's basement. It was, you know, beautiful home on the countryside, and we there's probably 15 of us, one shaman, two apprentices, and maybe two other people there. And so they go through, they explain to you what the whole ritual is going to be like, specifically for first timers, and you know, as such was the case for me. And then they take you aside and they say, okay, this is what's going to happen. So the whole process was clearly explained to me ahead of,
yeah,
you know, doing it, and that reassured me.
Yeah, no, I think that's great how they do explain it. And it is fascinating. So it seems consistent that there isn't the people are, it's from every walk of life as well. So that's totally fascinating. What was the head count roughly?
Yeah, I'd say in terms of participants, I'd say 15.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's kind of an average size.
And you're literally, I don't want to say you're crammed,
yeah,
in the space, but you've got these mats, and my mat is 2 inches away from the person to my right,
right,
and 2 inches away from the person to my left.
Yeah.
And there's actually buckets at the end of your mats, right?
Yeah,
for the purging,
yeah,
part.
That part gets a little nasty later on when people are like tripping around like zombies in the dark, and there's buckets everywhere, and half of them are full, right?
And you knock them over, I guess, in the dark.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I don't understand, you know, just a side note, like, when you're in that ceremony and you're in that moment, I'm pretty much like completely, like, I'm either in or out of my body, but I'm completely useless to the world at that point. I'm just in my experience. And the shamans themselves will often take the brew as well. They do it as well with you. And they are able to manage this whole ecosystem of everything going on. And they have beautiful music and beautiful things going on. And if somebody needs help, they're there to help them in the dark. And somehow they're managing the purge buckets at the same time. It's quite a feat. So for my sessions, when we got to that exact point, so here we are, we're in the circle now. It is seems to be very close together oftentimes. And did you state an intention in the circle? Did you kind of go around and state why you were there and what your purpose was for that?
We did. And it was interesting to hear everyone's intentions. And so when it came to me, you know, of course, I expressed the desire to find out whether there were other dimensions. But at the same time, I did say that, you know, I was interested in finding out about the events that shaped the person that I was then. And because I was a transitional phase in my life at that point, you know, what I was hoping that ayahuasca, the goddess, would assist me in defining who I was going to be in the future. So I did share that. And some people just wanted to revisit, again, as we discussed earlier, some traumatic, you know, episodes of their lives in the past, and that was their clear intentions. And, you know, it worked, because when we get to that point later on, I can clearly say that I heard them deal with these episodes in many ways.
Yeah. Okay. So you now it's time for the brew. How did you enjoy the taste of that?
I'd been told by many people, including you, that the taste was awful. So it wasn't as bad.
So it wasn't so bad.
No.
Okay.
And I literally swallowed it in one gulp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was okay. But it was a whole procession, you know, with I don't know the technical terms or the words for when, you know, you stand up and they put a feather around you.
They smudge.
They smudge, yeah. And so that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then they began chanting these indigenous, I guess, songs and then I went back to my cot, and of course, you know, this is done in the complete darkness, so you have to find your way. You don't even know, you know, you can't see that your hand in front of your face. It's that dark. And so I went back to my cot, and 30 minutes later, I start hearing people purging.
Yeah.
And so this is a whole new experience for me. And of course, people are, some of them are throwing up, some people are crying. Mm-hmm. This guy next to me was burping so loud. I found it personally gross. But we were all having a laugh at the same time.
Yeah.
And so, so I didn't purge. It didn't come out of my body.
Yeah.
In other ways, then I felt my legs shaking a lot, and maybe that was my way to purge.
Right.
And maybe I'd been so clean for the previous 2 weeks that there was nothing to shed. Right.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting. And so for my first night, I felt my body being very, very heavy, but I didn't get anything else. And it just I would hear a few people crying, but the next morning I think everyone agreed that this brew probably was not concocted in a way that it produced sort of significant effects on people.
Okay, so that's it. So just to give some context, you're there for two nights then.
Yes.
This is a two-night ceremony. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. So I just explained my journey. Each time I did it, I only did it for one night. But it was a two-night process, and you could stay for two nights. And I've heard the second night is actually even more profound once you're sort of in that state. So first night, you did it. You mentioned the leg shaking. Was there any, like, visions, thoughts, sort of realizations on the first night then?
No, I wasn't fighting it. Now, obviously, you have to, like in anything you do, you have to, as I said, I had a really open mind and I really wanted to get in on, I don't want to say get in on the action, but, you know, like I wanted to embrace this whole process, and it didn't do anything for me. It's not as if I was completely normal either, but it was more of a body buzz, if I can call it as such. Sure. And I know buzz is probably not the right term to define what ayahuasca does to you in general. But that night, that's how I felt. I just felt very heavy. And whether it was psychologically or emotionally, I didn't have any significant, it didn't feel any significant impact.
Did they offer a second cup?
They did,
yeah.
But I wasn't, I think at that point, there was still some apprehensions in me.
Sure.
And I'm like, if I'm not feeling this now, am I going to, you know, overdo it? So I was prudent. Not too many people ended up taking a second cup though that night.
Right.
And so the next morning, you get together and you start exchanging with people that, you really don't know.
Yeah.
But there was a common denominator that, generally speaking, no one really felt anything.
Okay.
And we conveyed that to the shaman, and he's like, thank you for letting me know. I'll change the mixture for tonight. And it was a mandatory that we had to go for two nights.
Oh,
there was a minimum two nights there.
Okay.
And so I think this particular shaman wants you to fully immerse yourself in that whole process.
Okay. So, now, did the night go? Did it go slowly then, since you were relatively in your body and in your mind? And
I did fall asleep for maybe 3 hours.
Okay, so you had a sleep too.
And then you get up, and there's some people still in the room. Others are upstairs having breakfast. It's kind of an odd setting.
Yeah.
Did
you feel your guard had dropped in the morning a little bit from the night before with the group? Then you just kind of
merged. A little bit.
Okay, so it sounds like it was a very mild brew then.
Yeah.
Okay, so. You get through the day, and then it's nighttime again. Was there anything interesting during the day, or is it just...
You're sharing your experiences, and you get to know people.
Sure.
So the level of comfort increases as the day progresses. Yeah. some people go for a walk outside, yeah. and you get to know people. So that human connection, I think, helps you feel better about yourself, right. more comfortable in yeah. your surroundings. And so the second night around 8 o'clock, you're like, it's time. Like, I'm
yeah.
ready.
Yeah.
And so the shaman goes through the same procedures, and, you know, everyone's got to, sort of share their intentions. And mine was more or less the same as the previous night, because I didn't feel anything, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And so, and then I do have to say that these chants are very, they put you in that zone.
Yeah.
And then I admire you for all of the meditations that you do. And it's something on a personal level that I aspire to. But as much as I know about the meditative state, those chants definitely assisted me in getting yeah. as close to what my understanding of the meditative state is.
Yeah.
And so I drink the brew and I go back to my cot and...
Now, just curious, on the second night, did they ask you to restate your intention, or is that...
They so did.
They did again. And was it the same as prior?
It was for me, because I just...
That was it. Okay.
That was it.
Okay.
And so I took the brew, and maybe 30 minutes later or 45 minutes later, and this is in the middle of all the chants, they ask if people want to take a second cup. And at this point,
I'm like, only 30 or 40 minutes in.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. As best as I can remember.
Well, I guess since the night one seemed to be a bit of a light experience, I guess they wanted to,
I think that's
really
it,
seal the deal on the second night. Okay, so did you do a second cut?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, so you doubled down on night two.
I did.
Right out of the gates.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And shortly thereafter, I started really feeling it.
Okay.
And it was a beautiful moment. So,
cool.
Of course, before that happens, you hear people purging. Yeah. And some people are crying, and so you're sensitive to that. But when I guess I embarked on my journey, those sounds became a little more distant. And so, the best way I can describe it was that it was an out of body experience. So I started feeling as if I was surfing over the room, and then I got further and further away, and that was the most important and telling part of my experience, is that I really felt as I entered another dimension. And I'm certain that I did, because the further I got away from my body, and I have to say that your mind is still connected to your body, but physically you're not. And it's as you perceive it in your dreams or in your imagination. So I felt like I was floating into space, and not that I was seeing stars, but it became quieter and quieter and quieter. And then I started feeling some pressure. And the best way I can describe is the sound that a submarine makes when it goes into the depths of the ocean.
Right.
Like that, the crackling yeah. sound. Yeah. I felt the pressure. And then all of a sudden, everything became silent. And I felt that time stood still. And then at that moment, I saw two particles. It was so clear in my mind. One was red and one was gold. And I read, okay, I'm in a world that's completely void of feelings and emotions. And that struck me. So I understood that I was in a metaphysical state. And I understood the relationship between humanity and spirituality. It was really interesting. And then I started hearing, so I wouldn't hear the chants, but I started hearing, there was one woman who was crying heavily.
So just before you heard her, you everything was just, you were just in that that field of consciousness or somewhere, but you didn't really notice what was going on in the room, and you couldn't hear anything going on in the room.
Exactly.
At that point. Okay.
Yeah.
So you started to come back now.
I started coming back, and then I would hear her cry, and it was just crying in my ear, but I can't hear the chants, and I can't hear anything else.
Just her.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, you're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. But oddly enough, I wasn't saying that with emotions. It was my rational side that was trying to guide her.
Yeah.
And I found that to be very interesting. Yet at that point, I also felt that it was so far from my body. And I started thinking about my family, my wife and kids. And, you know, the shaman tells you that ayahuasca is a goddess that you can talk to, and she's going to guide you through your whole journey. And I asked her at that point, okay, I think, you know, I'm far enough now. I'd like to go back because I was so far that I started doubting whether I was going to come back to my body. And then I said, okay, I want to go back because I want to go back to my wife and kids. And then slowly I came back down, but that whole process was as interesting as the way up, if I can say, because I got over the room and everything. So we have to remember that this is a pitch dark room. The windows are blacked out. There's nothing, you can't see anything. And then I saw the room being completely white and I would only see shadows. And there was a heavier set man who was maybe 15 feet away from where my cot was. And he got up and he wasn't doing well. And he asked the shaman to come to his attention. And I saw the two figures standing in front of each other in this very pitch dark room. But I just saw two shadows against a white background. Wow. And I would see the room, and then the person who was next to me, it was a woman. I saw her in two different spaces. So I saw her being 5 feet away from me, and then I saw her being 10 feet away from me. And so I slowly got back to my body, and then it was just a very pleasant state of being. Then I started hearing the chants again. Wow. And I started hearing, so people share their, you know, their state of mind or body, I guess. While they're experiencing. So I started hearing people's stories. And at some point, someone started laughing. And the entire room started laughing at the same time. And it was just it was a pure, beautiful, joyous moment that was void of any judgment. Or like, we were all completely vulnerable at that point. And then, of course, you go back to your body. And then, how can I say this? It was, you know, the voyage probably lasted for another hour and a half to 2 hours, and you slowly, you know, get back to your own self or your regular dimension.
Wow, dude. So that was a beautiful recollection of that. Cause I mean, I was right there with you. I mean, cause I can relate, but you really remembered the details in a beautiful way. So you really got the full immersed experience there. You were no longer Pierre in that identity. You were just your pure consciousness, aware of itself at some point. And it's amazing. And then you just kind of, how you just slowly came back in. And then some of those, like seeing the white in a black room and the way you were relating to the one woman who was in trouble. And I felt that way about others in the circle as well. So that's profound, dude. So,
yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So you're back in your body now. And like you said, the interesting thing about ayahuasca is that it's, you know, the onset is slow and the offset is slow as well. So you're sort of gradually melding back into, you know, Pierre as we know him. So what time of day is it now? Where is everything with the circle?
So I'd say if we took the, we drank the brew maybe at 8 o'clock, this is probably at 2:30 in the morning.
Okay.
So 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
But you're conscious at that point, but you're still just like, you know, it's, the effects are still, you're still feeling it.
Yeah. And of course at some point there's a projection of stars on the ceiling. And,
right.
You know, I would compare that to, you know, the feeling that you have when you take mushrooms, I'd say. So when you're sort of coming down, in my case anyways, that was a case, you know, you see colors, but it's everything's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's extrasensorial. And you hear better, you see better, you feel more, you smell more. So it's actually a really pleasant journey back.
It just sort of melts some kind of crust off that we develop around our egos. Like that day-to-day sort of programming and everything just gets melted right off to some degree, right? And then and you just sort of feel more truth and more...
Exactly. That's well said.
So, okay, so it's the morning now. So this must be a very different closing of the ceremony.
For sure.
For everybody. And I assume that everybody's probably went on much deeper that night. Now, your experience sounds like it was a perfect storm for your first time.
Yeah.
How was the closing of the ceremony and you know, did you, you know, how did you interact with the group after this?
Yeah, so yeah, that's a very good question. So the next morning, again, there's some people who get up earlier than others.
Yeah.
You do fall asleep after a while.
Yeah.
And so, but at breakfast, you know, conversation is so much more animated.
Yeah.
Everyone's sharing their experiences. And again, some people had negative experiences. There was one person there saying, you know, I've done this 4 times now, I've had a bad experience every time. And maybe it is relative to either their condition when they embark on that journey, or it's the state of mind, or maybe they've had to deal with traumatic episodes that they didn't really feel like revisiting.
Right.
And so you have to be respectful of that. But generally around the table, everyone's like, oh yeah, and I had a chance to speak to my deceased father. And so you're hearing these really wonderful testimonials that are making you believe in that in the process. And, you know, of course, the first thing I did was to write down everything that I felt. And they, at least our common friend, encouraged me to do that.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I have this journal to this day, and sometimes I go back to it. And then after a while, you know, after the sort of the, not the novelty wears off, but, you know, sort of the, that honeymoon phase dissipates, you start thinking in a more rational manner, and you're like, was I projecting my own beliefs about these alternate universes and other dimensions and seeing them? And then I think it was you who told me, it doesn't matter. Even if it was, you still reap the benefit of it. And I absolutely believe in that.
Yeah.
And so if you ask me, though, I really believe that I had an out-of-body experience, because it was so strong, and it made me understand what it will be like when we'll no longer be on this earth.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing that you said. I mean, that's it really, you know, it certainly doesn't close the gap on that, but it kind of gives you a little bit of a peace too, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think that there's something more, right, beyond this meat sack that we're currently residing in. So just to close the circle on that then. So you had your initial intention going into this on the first night. So this is the next morning. How did the experience align with your attention, or did it?
Listen, it was very much aligned, because it confirmed what I had assumed all along. And again, this is very personal, but I you know, I do believe in other dimensions. I really don't think that you and I sitting here today is, you know, our whole existence. I mean, there's you know, you're probably sitting 2 feet from me, but at the same time you're sitting 20 feet from me. And so I that to me was very clear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there's anything I've gathered from this, is I no longer believe that time and space is a linear thing as we live our lives and structure our world around. You see things very differently. And in quantum physics also shows
exactly
that, you know, particles don't behave that way. So
yeah,
there's an integration process that you do after, you know, it takes time to sort of assimilate this information. Will you do it again, I guess? Is that that's
absolutely the question? Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, how long ago was it then?
This was a year ago.
1 year ago. So when do you feel ready now, or is it something that's on the horizon, or what do you think?
Yeah, I have to say the answer is yes, and I would do it in a heartbeat, but I'd be lying if I said that I again didn't have any apprehensions, sure. Because you hear so many stories about people sometimes having a negative experience, but the beautiful aspect of that is that they feel better as a result. You just don't know if you feel like, you know, immersing yourself in that negative experience, even though it's going to be 4 hours long.
Yeah, it's work. It's work. And those people that you describe, I mean, if you're holding some deep things and some dark things, you're going to have to face them at some point.
Yeah.
Or you can continue to suffer because of them.
So
it's that thing. So, you know, this is not a topic for today, but, you know, DMT is something I'm going to be talking about in future episodes. So we'll talk about that offline as well. But brother, I want to acknowledge you and thank you so much for doing this today, because, you know, this is something that's not necessarily easy for everybody to talk about. But I think it's encouraging for people who may be thinking about this. And so thanks, brother. And wow, you did a great job explaining that story. Plus, this beautiful bottle of red wine that we're drinking right now is nice on a Friday afternoon. So I love you, buddy, and thanks, man.
I love you, too. Thank you for having me.